Aquí estamos preguntando sobre supersticiones financieras.
Bueno, en mi familia decían, si te pica la mano, no te la rasques porque viene dinero.
Pero si quieres controlar tu presupuesto, hay una manera mucho más práctica.
¿En serio?
Con el plan Precio Personal de State Farm, puedes crear un precio accesible solo para ti.
Y sin aguantar picazón, me gusta.
Como un buen vecino, State Farm está ahí. Llama para obtener una cotización hoy. Los precios varían según el estado. La elegibilidad para la selección de cobertura podría variar.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we are back. And John, do you want to finish what your statement was?
I forgot it, Pastor Ernie, so it must not have been that important.
All righty. Folks, we're going to take a look at some things. John, remember how we mentioned about going back to Ruby Ridge and Waco and January 6th, all of these things, there's a very, very dark, the shootings in Las Vegas, the shootings at the schools, there's a very dark, satanic overtone. These things just don't happen. There's things that are happening out there, and these are a test. There are two things. They're a test on the resolve and how the American people also will react. But it's a satanic ritual. And it's just like it's a new way of Moloch sacrificing the children. There's a deep, dark evil, their presence. But the vast majority of people out there are clueless. I mean, they are totally la-la landers. They got no idea at all what's happening. And so we're going to play you a clip from iMeme. The Maui fire exposed, folks. You want to listen to this and take notes. Go ahead, take her away.
Just will not believe what I'm going to present to you in today's video. When I discovered it, my jaw dropped, and to be honest, I'm still in disbelief. So whatever you do, turn off all distractions and watch every second of this video, because what you're going to see in here is going to leave you in absolute disbelief. You ready? Let's go.
It's not being reported right now in the news, but on a neighboring island of Lanai, they found 183 bodies washed ashore there. There's 800, as of today, reported missing. There are many hundreds that are being refrigerated right now, trying to get ID. They're asking people on the island to provide their DNA so they can match DNA to others. Outside the media, they're expecting this to reach almost 2,000 people in death toll. This is right up there among the worst, if not the worst, since us becoming a nation as fires go. 85 Paradise, and that was considered the worst.
That was Pastor Jack Hibbs revealing shocking information that we don't hear on mainstream media regarding the terrible situation with the Maui fire. What is being reported on mainstream media is this.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency, the team that's supposed to be digging through the ashes and delivering aid, has turned the tragedy into a junket. FEMA booked themselves into five-star luxury Hawaiian resorts. They're shacking up at the Maui Four Seasons, beachfront, of course. Rooms there are $1,000 a night. It's not just the Four Seasons. FEMA agents are also posting up at the Fairmont Kealani in Maui, where rooms range there from $1,300 to $4,500 a night. FEMA agents are also crashing at the Grand Walia Astoria, five stars, of course. Are these the hotels Biden's FEMA officials should be staying in, gallivanting around in and drinking in, as search and rescue operations are underway with 500 kids still missing? Now, FEMA has confirmed that they're staying at these hotels. Biden's giving Maui fire victims $700, while his FEMA officials sleep at luxury resorts that cost more than that per night. FEMA officials could stay at the Days Inn, where you could get an oceanfront view for $250 a night. We confirmed it. Rooms are still available there. Now, when did FEMA develop this taste for the finer things in life? Because FEMA's administrator, Deanne Criswell, is complaining that they don't have enough money.
We're watching our disaster relief fund very closely. Our estimates do still stay that we may have a depletion of our fund now. I mean, this is a day-by-day monitoring of the situation. We will start to move some of our recovery projects and delay them until the next fiscal year.
Whoa, FEMA has a $25 billion budget.
Please make it make sense. Maui fire victims get $700 total to rebuild their lives. Meanwhile, FEMA officials get $1,300 per night in rooms at the Four Seasons, Fairmont Kealani, and the Grand Wailea in Maui.
Nobody in Hawaii that's went through this tragedy should be worried about where they're staying. The President of the United States should have a gold card. He should be able to walk into a hotel, and plop it down on the counter, and go, how many rooms do you have tonight? Oh, and we need more rooms. Then you go over to the concierge and you go, hey, in case you don't know me, I'm the President of the United States. And do me a favor, call around town and let's get everybody that needs a hotel room a hotel room. And then you take these poor people who need help and you put them in a hotel room. If we can do it for people that break into our country, we can do it for people that are in need. This shouldn't be hard to do. And this should happen. Like it should be instant. It should be the same day. Nobody should worry about that they have nowhere to go. Not in America. This is disgusting.
If you think that's the big news for today, well, I have information that, like I said, you won't believe. We've talked all week about Maui Police Chief John Pelletier. He's the guy who was in charge of the 2017 Las Vegas shooting that, to this day, still remains a mystery. Pelletier is the same dude who, on a previous video, we found out received a pay raise only 50 days after he started the job. $205,000 per year, which was a 29% raise. That was even more than he asked for. Okay, so we know who we're talking about, right? Now get this. The Maui police chief with the dark trail of controversy and bad luck around him is also the Maui coroner.
I gotta tell you, I met with them. I'm also the coroner, for those that don't know that.
How convenient. Oh, but it gets worse. HB 869 was a bill that passed on January 23rd of this year, just 1 month after Josh Green took office. But what does HB 869 say? What does it do? Well, the very first section, Section 1, states, the legislature finds that coroners should be separate from law enforcement and free to make independent judgments when investigating deaths. Wow, just wow. It also says, under current state law, the chief of police for a county serves as the coroner if the county does not have a medical examiner. Making coroners independent from law enforcement will promote transparency, avoid conflicts of interest, and encourage more confidence in coroners' rulings. Remember, Maui Police Chief John Pelletier told reporters that the fire had melted metal, making the remains extremely difficult to identify.
When we find these, you know, our family and our friends, the remains we're finding is through a fire that melted metal. We have to do rapid DNA to identify them.
With Pelletier both being in charge of the police department and in power of the investigations of the deaths, there certainly seems to be a sinister conflict of interest here. He knows exactly how many children are missing. After all, we're talking about families living in a small 5.7 square mile area. He can certainly figure out how many children were living in each home. Matt Wallace tweeted, "What are the chances that the same guy would be chief of police in two completely different states for both the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history, Vegas shooting, and also the deadliest wildfire, Maui fires, in over 100 years in the U.S. With nearly 500 FEMA personnel on the ground in Maui, along with 270 Red Cross workers, 400 Hawaiian National Guard members, and close to 200 U.S. Army reservists, there is no way that they are still not aware of the numbers. No way. Will Kane provided his explanation as to the missing children reports, or lack thereof.
Lead to me. And this is what I've been told. The number's going to be way higher. All of those guys said that reluctantly to me. They didn't want to put numbers on it. They did see, they saw many, many bodies. Now, I want you to know that as well when I tell you this. There were a lot of children that were sent home from school that day. We need to find out what happened to all those kids. I will say, in all of my days over there this past week, having talked to a lot of people, you don't hear people saying, I still can't find this person or I still can't find that person. There's not a great outcry of a missing child or a missing cousin. That does exist, but I'm just telling you, if the numbers are in the 500 to 1,000, I would have thought I would have heard that more. Mm. So that does leave me with one last potentiality, which is entire families are gone. Entire groups of people who could not escape and no one left to say, where is my cousin? Where is my uncle? Where is my child? I do think, and I am concerned, it's going to be a story that gets worse before it ever looks better.
It's tragic.
Independent reporter Nick Sorter posted a very disturbing video along with his tweet that said, Maui police headlock me for asking the mayor about missing children. Mayor Bisson knows the answer, but he's hiding it. The mainstream media have been refusing to press the mayor on this, so residents and I started pressing him hard for the past several days. He's been demonizing and attempting to discredit me ever since. Regardless, we've been able to really blow the lid off this story. This is a cover-up. Children were burned alive. I've even heard horrific first-hand accounts from locals that found baby bones in car seats and bones of a young boy laying on top of his dog to protect it from the inferno. The four schools in Lahaina served over 3,000 students. Only 400 have enrolled in other schools. Another 200 are doing virtual learning. Where are the children, Mr. Mayor?
So we're not going to ask questions. How many of these 10 cadavers are...
The Maui department, okay? The press show is over.
He's not going to answer my questions.
He's done.
Thank you.
They
take pictures of me.
There's no need for acting.
You're with Maui police, right?
Yeah, he's done with the press conference.
I appreciate your patience.
Get out of my way. Who are you?
With the Maui Police Department.
Okay, and what's my crime? You're literally pushing
the
me.
The press conference is
I
over.
I don't f***ing care if the press conference is over. Get out of the way. Sorry. All right, so sir, 110 cadavers, but we can't identify how many of them are children. This is get out of my fucking... Dude, get off my throat.
Relax, sir.
No, I'm not going to get...
Relax.
No, I'm not going
to... Okay.
I'm not going to relax, dude. I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm trying to ask a f***ing question, and we can't get the answer for it. How many of the 110 dead are children? You know who are children. They're cadavers. You have the bodies. You know how many of them are children. How many children are dead?
Step back, please.
How many children are dead, Mayor? So you're just not going to tell.
Nick followed that up with another tweet saying, the morgues on Maui are full. The Hawaii government is still lying about the death count. I'm not backing down until the people of Maui have answers.
Yeah, Sarah, absolutely. I know at this point that the government has not been truthful about the death toll. They're not talking about the death toll of the children either, which is one of the scariest parts of this entire thing. That is what the people here in Maui want to know. Now, when it comes to the morgues, there's one morgue here, one permanent morgue, and it's at the hospital here in Maui, the main hospital. They set up a temporary morgue at the police station. So there are not too many places that these bodies could be placed. I do know that the morgue's hospital is full and it holds several hundred people. Okay. So I can't confirm that they died in the fire yet, but for whatever reason, the morgue is full and they had to set up a temporary one over at the police station as well. So they've now frozen this confirmed dead number at 114. It has not risen here in the past 2 days. I can't tell you why, though.
Taking a look now, Maui water officials warn Lahaina and Kula residents not to drink running water because it may be contaminated even after boiling. They also warn to only take short showers in well-ventilated rooms to avoid possible chemical vapor exposure. And then there's the Maui fuel spill saga. The Air Force faced the repercussions of a 700-gallon fuel spill at a Space Force facility atop Haleakala. That's right, an oil spill on a volcano in the same area that was ablaze and devastated the island. Haleakala is a culturally and religiously significant site for Native Hawaiians, and it's considered to be a dwelling for the gods and is a place where priests perform ceremonies. Space Force established its first regional command in Hawaii in November of 2022. Then, 2 months later, they apologized for spilling 700 gallons of diesel fuel on sacred ground at the Maui Space Surveillance Complex at the summit of Haleakala. Another instance of exactly why they should not have these facilities in Hawaii's most sacred spaces. We have a solemn responsibility to protect this sacred ground upon which we have the privilege to operate. And it is a privilege, not a right, said Brigadier General Anthony Masteller, commander of U.S. Space Forces Indo-Pacific. You expect more from us, and last week, we let you down. And for that, I'm truly sorry. We understand the importance of being good stewards of the environment. Masteller is new in Hawaii. He arrived in 2022. So Let's get this straight. Police Chief Pelletier, new. Governor Josh Green, new. Space Force Commander, new. All three have terrible luck surrounding them. In the past, we saw jet fuel being spilled at Red Hill, the fire suppression spill at Red Hill. There was the coolant spill on Mauna Kea and a diesel spill on Maui. The wildfire in Maui ignited in the same area as the spill, which, by the way, still was never completely cleaned up. As of 6 weeks ago, the spill was still not properly dealt with. So maybe this is all a conspiracy theory, right? Maybe what I just presented with actual facts, articles, and evidence isn't believable. Maybe the Maui fires were caused by climate change. Founder of The Weather Channel and meteorologist John Coleman says climate change is not happening. There is no global warming.
Climate deniers, people who believe climate change is not happening in any meaningful way, are sometimes painted in the media as fringe characters, as kooks. So this might shock you. A man who co-founded the Weather Channel thinks climate change is a hoax. His name is John Coleman.
Hello to all your viewers. I resent you calling me a denier. That is a word meant to put me down. I'm a skeptic about climate change, and I want to make it darn clear, Mr. Kenney's not a scientist. I am. He's the CEO of the Weather Channel now. I was the founder of the Weather Channel, not the co-founder.
And I'm glad you did, because I am addicted to the Weather Channel. I watch a lot of cable news.
I'm talking now. Hold on just a minute. I'm not done. And CNN has taken a very strong position on global warming that it is a consensus. Well, there is no consensus in science. Science isn't a vote. Science is about facts. And if you get down to the hard, cold facts, there's no question about it. Climate change is not happening. There is no significant man-made global warming now. There hasn't been any in the past, and there's no reason to expect any in the future. There's a whole lot of baloney, and I regret it's become political instead of scientific, but the science is on my side.
I don't think we're going to come to a conclusion about the topic right here. What I do wonder, though, is when
not,
you see...
I know we're not, because you wouldn't allow it to happen on CNN, but I'm happy that I got on the air and got a chance to talk to your viewers. Hello, everybody. There is no global warming.
So we're going to wrap up today's video right there. I have so much more that I'm working on behind the scenes, and I can't wait to bring it to you. If you'd like to see more updates like this, please give this a video.
There you go, John. He's an actual scientist. I have to laugh because they had those petitions where they said 1,000 people, 1,000 scientists signed onto a petition for global warming. And then you start going down the names. Half those people are there. They're podiatrists. They're dentists. Maybe not even one half of 1% were meteorologists. So what does that tell you?
Well, it reminds me of Joe Biden and the Hunter Biden laptop, where 51 top intelligence agents, the heads of the intelligence agencies, signed off that it was Russian disinformation. Remember, Pastor Ernie?
They lied, didn't they?
Yeah, who believes this stuff anymore? You know?
Yeah.
And I know we discussed this, but back in the late 60s and 70s, remember it was the new ice age was coming?
Oh, yeah.
And they were telling us, they had these scientists all showing these graphs and charts, and the ice packs there in the North Pole and South Pole are all getting bigger, and we're going to enter into a new ice age. There'll be massive starvations and all.
Oh yeah, but yeah,
that was only, you know, Mr. Ernie, that was within our lifetime, and now it's just the opposite. Now it's global warming.
That was Eckerman, John Eckerman, remember?
Yes.
He was the one that they would pull out all the time back in the 70s, and he was telling us, but by the middle of the 1980s, we would be in an ice age because of Q-tips,
yes,
disposable right, diapers, acid rain, and fat flagellants from cows. And they paraded him out like he was an expert, and the man was an absolute fool.
Yeah, with the acid rain, they said that all of the Northeast, the acid rain was coming from, I think you, Ohio and Michigan, and that all the lakes would be completely polluted, and the trees would all die. The foliage was all going to die because of acid rain.
Hey, do you know what happens, John? John, you know, if you took and just watered your garden, even from regular well water, it will not do real good, okay? It needs the rain. And the reason, the acid in the rain breaks up the minerals in the soil. Did you know that?
No.
You better never be a farmer, John. There you go. And so, yeah, there you go. But that was really good that came out. But all of this stuff, now, you see, do you think those were just all accidents, those huge spills of diesel fuel? Do you think that was an accident, John, right there in that area where everything was going to burn?
Well, did it come out that fuel was used in part of, was it part of this burning?
Yeah. They could have had it cleaned up, but it was a part, yeah. So all of this stuff, look, again, if you go back and you look at all of these things that are happening, it's right in your face. It's a very satanic ritual. These are satanic people. And again, there are a number of pastors that recognize this. There are, but only a very small amount of them, very few of them, will actually come out and talk about it. The vast majority of them are afraid.
Yeah. Afraid, so. Pastor Ernie. Afraid. Everybody's afraid. They're afraid to talk about the death shots, right?
Yeah.
Afraid to talk about the stolen election. Afraid to talk about, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Now, afraid to talk about the truth in Mali.
Here's what Michael Hoffman says about the neo-Leninists who rule us are certain that they are on the path to victory. The Democratic Party's revolutionary brutalism. Victory is not possible without the very cruelest revolutionary terror, B.I. Lenin. Brutalism is the architecture, is what we have had for the last 70 years in the design of public edifices and buildings dedicated to commercial enterprises. These often resemble prisons and hospitals. This architecture is a reflection of modernism and postmodernist trends toward an anti-human frisson, a public confession of soullessness. Brutalism in politics can be seen in the policies and atrocities of Vladimir Lenin and his disciples in the Democratic Party. From the very first few hours as the leader of Russia, he, Lenin, laid the groundwork for rule by terror. Voter Sebastian writes in the Man, the Dictator, and the Master of Terror. On his second day in power, he began to censor the press. On December 7th, 1977, he set up secret police, like the FBI, the CIA, the Cheka, to combat counter-revolutionary speculation and sabotage. He abolished the legal system in favor of revolutionary justice. Isn't that what those lawyers now are wanting to do? The ones from the...
Exactly, Pastor Ernie. Exactly.
So as to us, Lenin pontificated, all is permitted. Blood, let there be blood. Isn't that exactly what Hillary was saying? For victory was not possible without the very cruelest revolutionary terror. Brutalism in politics is the equivalent of a fighter who has another combatant pinned to the ground while repeatedly punching him in the face. All right, we're going to open the phone lines and take some calls. You ready, John?
I'm ready, Pastor Ernie.
Okay, the phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. Okay, 888-677-9673. The phone lines are now open. And, you know, I think this is what I'm going to be preaching on here. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He's going to get you. He is going to get you. What do you think, John?
Well, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And he's very merciful, Pastor Ernie. And he will wait and give people, he'll try to get them to repent in that. But at some point, he has to deal with the sin. So be not deceived. God is not mocked.
All right. So we have all of history. We have over 6,000 years of history, of actually written history, John, out there today. And we see in that, I mean, here, is there anything in existence that even comes close to matching the accuracy and the authority of God's Word, the Bible, the King James Bible?
It's an amazing book, Pastor Ernie, the King James Bible. I mean, it's been a real blessing to mankind and a real blessing to America. I mean, the going back to the beginning of the nation, was the King James Bible.
All righty. The phone lines are open again at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. People want me to give out the address of the church. Folks, our church service starts at 8:30 and with an in-depth, and I mean we do an in-depth Bible study, and we kind of take it to a different level. And then that goes to about 9:30 or 9:45, and then we have another Bible study. And then after the Bible studies, the morning service starts at about 11:15. And then we always have around 4 o'clock a very, very good we have a class that we teach there. It's the Bible and current events. And it's showing you things that's happening right now that you don't know about. The vast majority of people are clueless. But these things, remember Hosea 4:6 is my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then at 6 o'clock, we have the regular evening service. And so the address is Doers of the Word Baptist Church, 14781. That's Doers of the Word Baptist Church, 14781, Sperry. That's Sperry Road. And that's Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, 44065. And so, again, it's good. We are an actual New Testament church. We are not a 501c3 corporation. We are not a 501c3. We are an actual, unregistered, New Testament, Bible-believing church. And our allegiance is to God and God alone, okay? The head of our church is the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So there you go. We're going to go to take some calls, and I don't know who we have. Who do we have first? Well, we got the board is tied up, so I don't know. We're going to find out in just a minute who we have first. Again, while we're waiting on that, the number is 888-677-9673, and we have the one and only Big John McTernan, co-founder of Cops for Christ International, the author of many, many books. And John, there's been some things happening, too, with you recently, with some of the people you've been preaching to in other countries. Tell us about Afghanistan or whatever. Are you there, John? Did we lose John?
I had you muted, Pastor Ernie.
Oh, okay.
The leader of the ministry there in Pakistan, his church was attacked and burnt. In fact, on Fox News, they reported it, and they had a picture of his church there being burnt and looted. And also, it was about 22 churches in total. And then they burnt 72 homes. And this, of course, was Muslim. They call them terrorists. That's Christians call them. They call them Muslim terrorists, radical terrorists. But Prime Minister of Pakistan came, and I thought it was very unusual because he threatened the terrorists to stop, and if they didn't stop, he was going to bring the army in to deal with them, and it stopped. But it was the church that church is probably about 40 years old. Its father had started it, and many other churches were burned.
All righty, very good. We're going to be going to a fast break, and then we'll be right back and take your calls.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below. Silver, a little gold, but in that city where the rats will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line.
And that was S.T. Chrisman, who's gone on to be the Lord, Brian Park, and yours truly, old pastor. And Cindy out there from New Jersey. Cindy, a couple of stations that you can listen to us on the cover of New Jersey would be 570 out of AM out of New York, 570 AM out of New York, or also 560 out of Philadelphia. They cross that. They both cover that area there. So in New Jersey, I'm not sure about station in New Jersey, but anyhow, there you go, Cindy. Thank you for calling in and offering a donation. There you go. Also now We want to go out to Dayton and Andrew. Andrew and Dayton, you're in the air.
Hello, how you doing?
We're doing okay. How are you?
Good. Well, I had a comment. I was going to disagree with you about global warming.
Oh, no. That's never happened. But go ahead.
I'm going to disagree with you because in 2 Peter, I think, 3:10, the Bible says that God's going to burn the earth up with a fervent heat.
Well, that's real global warming. That's going to be one time. It's not happening right now.
It's really, Pastor, it's really just a joke. It's really, I'm just saying that I believe God has a global warming plan, but it's his wrath, and it's going to create a new heaven and a new earth.
Well, you're right about that.
After he refines it with his wrath upon those that are left behind after the rapture.
And you know what? You have those out there today saying that well, they don't believe God could do that.
Is there anything too hard for God?
You're right. I mean, we have all of history to prove that, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. But you, where's your church located? It's in...
In Ohio, Newberry, Ohio.
How far away is that from Dayton?
Oh, about an hour and probably an hour and a half.
I'm gonna come up there and see you one of these days.
Well, that'd be great. Yeah, that would be good. We do have people. We have a number of people from Detroit come down to see us, and we're probably about 2.5 hours from there. So I see Eric or Derek shaking his head. You don't think it's Dayton? Okay, well, it's not quite that far. It's out to more northwest.
Right, but I just Googled Dayton to Newberry. It's about 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours?
Yeah, you're going from the southwest corner to the northeast corner.
Okay, he says it's 3.5 hours. I must have been driving real fast because I've been down to Dayton. It never seemed to take me that long. All righty.
Well, I'd still like to get up there and see you one of these days, but how long have you been a pastor?
This is our 50th year on the air.
Wow.
And so...
So when did God call you to preach?
Back in the early 70s.
Wow. So you're a young man at that time.
Yeah. I must have been about 5. No, I've been around a few years. I'm almost as old as John McTernan.
Who's
no,
that?
Pastor, you've got me. You've got me. Although, this month was my 50th wedding anniversary.
Wow. In November, I'll have my 56th wedding anniversary. So I get you again.
Yeah, you get me again.
Yeah. All righty. Well, listen, thanks, Andrew, for calling. Yeah, come on up. I think you'd like our church. We're an actual New Testament church.
Well, I go to a Baptist church in Dayton, Ohio. It's called Hallelujah Side Baptist Church, and we are also a New Testament church. We're not 501c3. Jesus Christ is the head. We believe that this is the church that Jesus started, and will continue until the rapture. I don't know if you're a pre-tribulational rapture guy or not, but
I sure am.
I believe that
we go right along with the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for the Christ to call us out of here. And then do you think we'll be here when the Antichrist is revealed?
Well, you know, some of us will know, will recognize who he is. I believe that, you know, because we know that we recognize certain people. Like in my lifetime, the fellow that has the best requirements for that, that fits that, would have been Barack Obama for a whole lot of reasons, okay, taken from the Bible. But I think we, pardon?
He was very charismatic, very appealing to people, someone that can make people to wonder after him, you know?
Well, his name is actually in the Bible in a couple of places, and
okay.
There's a whole lot of a lot of reasons, you know. If you go to, you find out it in Daniel chapter 11. He's also a homosexual. And so all of these things, the Antichrist comes about. So anyhow, I think you would definitely, now we're an actual, like you are, an actual Baptist church. The vast majority of people don't understand what a Baptist is. Baptist is not a denomination. A Baptist is a doctrine. Right. But the vast majority of people don't know that. You have a lot of churches with Baptists in their name, but they're not Baptist at all. They're Protestant. There's a big difference between a Protestant and a Baptist.
That's right.
And so,
we got to thank the Catholics for killing so many of us and then giving us our name.
Yeah, that Catholic bishop said there back in 12 AD, he said, had not killed off so many Baptists that we would have been totally overtaken the church by now, huh?
Yep. Now, let me ask you a question. Does your church accept what I would call alien immersion? Do you have to have scriptural baptism? Do you have to have Baptist baptism to be a member of your church?
You're baptized into the church, yes, and you're baptized by immersion upon your profession of faith that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. And so we hold strictly to the Word of God. We don't vary from that at all. We don't do infant baptisms.
What about if somebody wants to join your church that's been baptized by, say, a non-denominational church or a Pentecostal church or one of the various other Protestant churches?
If they've been baptized by immersion and they made a profession of faith as the Lord Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, then, they can join. You see, we have people from all over the country that consider themselves members of our church, even though they can't attend there. Many of them are shut-ins. Many of them cannot find an actual unregistered church. So they support us. They listen to me on the radio, and we're actually their church, even though we recommend, if you can't find an actual unregistered New Testament church, you start one. And so,
now what about, think about this for a second. What if someone that was in the Catholic Church and they were baptized by immersion as an adult, but yet it's still the Catholic Church that baptized them, and they still make a profession of faith of being born again out of works or anything that they've done, but the one that baptized them is still the Catholic Church. Would you still accept that baptism?
Well, now, see, the church doesn't baptize anybody, okay? When you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Father, the Son, you're not baptized in the name of any denomination. If you are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost upon your profession that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then we accept that. We don't, first of all, we don't recognize denominations. The Bible doesn't recognize denominations, and we don't either.
Well, but don't you think the Bible and God recognize what we profess as, because they're being added to your local church. And so you're being added to the local body of Christ, and that body is held up by the doctrines which they profess the Bible to teach. And so it seems when you're baptized by, and John the Baptist, Jesus walked 60 miles to be baptized by John the Baptist. And then all the apostles were also baptized by John the Baptist, because he had authority from heaven, and so
not all of them.
Well, all the
Paul wasn't. Again, look, we hold to exactly what the Bible teaches. Okay, we see when you get into adding to things, and putting, say your own church. In other words, you may have traditions. There's nothing wrong with having a church tradition things. You can have that. But when you add that as biblical doctrine, you add it to what the Bible teaches, then you're in trouble. What do you think, John McTurnan?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. We have to stay close to what the Bible says is possible. Why not? What's in Pakistan now? We've had hundreds and hundreds of Presbyterians. There is a Presbyterian denomination. It's not huge, but it's spread throughout Pakistan, and they've come out and of it, and they've been water baptized. Did I send you the pictures of it, Pastor Ernie?
I think I saw some, but I don't.
I sent you the pictures of it. Yeah, so they're coming to Christ, and they're being water fully water baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
But you do believe that when you're baptized, you're added to the local church?
You're baptized into your local church. But that doesn't mean, like I said, you can have people that, let's just say, they want to belong to our church, even have family members in our church. But they live far away. They can't attend every single week or whatever. We had a fellow that would come to our church from Seattle, Washington, four times a year. That's as many times as he could attend, four times. But he was a member of our church, and he was baptized into our church. So it's kind of like many times we have people that are missionaries. But you don't want to cross that line into legalism. So again, you don't want to add to anything that the Bible teaches. Stay strictly with the Word.
It just seems like someone that would be baptized in a false church, and they're added to that church, they've also professed not only their Lord, Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but also that they're identifying themselves with that local body and that local body of doctrine. And that's where I have a little bit of a problem with accepting someone's baptism that comes from a heretical church.
Well, I think you'll find the answer to that question in 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2. It talks about when you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you'll get discernment. I've seen men who have been in a pulpit for 20 years who have preached God's word, and one day after 20 years, come forth and said, I have never been saved. I was never. Then they realized it to that time, but the Holy Spirit works. God will always, always honor your commitment. And so when those people say that, when they make a public profession to the world, that the Lord Jesus Christ is their Lord and their Savior, and they're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, okay, then they have been obedient. That's when, again, you get baptized because you're saved, not to be saved.
I agree.
And that's their profession of faith, and then they've been in obedience, okay.
But the issue is, not just anybody can baptize you. I can't just walk down the street and find some guy and say, hey, man, can you baptize me? I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you immerse me down in this river? It has to be under the authority of the local church. And the Catholic Church and a Protestant church, they don't have that authority.
Well, now, I don't. Where do you find that in the Bible that it's got to be under the authority of the church? When you find people that get baptized and...
Well, can I get baptized by anybody? It doesn't matter who it is.
If it's the profession, I don't know if that would be the case, but it's the profession, the baptism it's your profession of an inward possession that you are already saved, okay? And no, you don't want to get... You don't want to go out and get baptized by Joe Sixpack, that's for sure. But But where I'm running out of time right now. So how much time do I have?
I just think that.
Okay. Listen, Andrew, we're out of time.
God gave the church the authority. You know, he gave the church the Great Commission.
All righty.
If you're not the church, you don't have.
No, we got to go. So, John, you've got 4 minutes. John, can you do it in 4 minutes?
Well, I'll just give a general prayer, Pastor Ernie. How's that?
All right.
Okay. Father, we're before you in the awesome name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the show tonight and all the truth that came out. Lord, we're asking for our nation that you would bless us, the remnant, Lord, that loves you, that stands for your word, that doesn't compromise. Lord, we're crying out to you for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the nation, Lord. We have to get into the politics, Lord, that's necessary. However, the victory is a move of your spirit to change people's lives, to take them out of the wokeness, Lord, to take them out of the LGBTQ agenda, Lord, to have them stop going after the children, Lord, in kindergarten, first, second grade, all of that. Lord, we are, there's like a tsunami of these people. They're everywhere, Lord. They're everywhere. So we're crying out to you. We're crying out for mercy. We're crying out for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. You sent great outpourings in this nation. You sent several, many of them, Lord, from the beginning. And we need another one, Lord. We need another one. Lord, they hate the leaders of the Democratic Party in particular, and there's a whole bunch of Republicans in there. They hate you. They hate your word, and they hate us, Lord, because we stand for your word. But that's an honor. It's an honor to stand for your word, Lord, in this time against the wickedness. It's a great honor. So I'm asking for the quickening, Lord, of your people, that your people would not be burnt out and overwhelmed by everything that's happening, that this would drive us more to prayer, to cry out to you for one last great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for Pastor Ernie, and like the little Bible study before we started there was very, very informing, Lord. Very good. Thank you. Bless the word that goes forth, Lord. I pray for your people, Lord, to be free from depression and free from lonesomeness, Lord, and sorrow. The studies are showing that really since COVID, it's affected the psyche of the nation, Lord. And we're asking that you quicken, you give life, you encourage your people by your word, Lord.
40 seconds.
Okay. And that everyone out here will trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the only way to heaven, is by trusting Jesus, by repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as that he died on the cross to shed your blood, shed his blood, to pay the penalty for your sin. So we thank you and praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'm sorry I didn't give you more time, John, but I tried.
That's all right. That's
so until
I'm glad to pray for the 4 minutes.
Until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless. And always, always, let's do it.
Keep
fighting the fight. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.